is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
With Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and friend, and we immediately go to headlines that are stark, and I ask Gordon for an explanation. Gordon, a very good evening to you. Before we turn to larger matters of prosperity, we turn to what appears to be a warning. Blinken, Secretary of State, lauds extraordinary expansion of defense ties with Philippines, all very positive. At the same time, we have information that China is ignoring the mutual defense pact between the U.S. and the Philippines and is continuing to provoke and threaten the Philippines. Why? What is going on? Is there something new out there, Gordon? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. China is pressuring the Philippines, not only in the South China Sea, but also in the Philippine Sea, which is to the east of the Philippines. And Secretary Blinken is in Manila speaking to everybody. And we have issued another one of our warnings that we are prepared to use force against China to discharge our obligations pursuant to Article 4 of the U.S.-Philippine Mutual Defense Treaty. The big news here is that, yes, we issue warnings, and even President Biden issued a similar warning to China, but China is ignoring every warning from the U.S.
So this will look like the high-pressure hoses on their ships, the gathering of so-called fishing fleet all tied together, or provocations of ramming? Do we have any idea, Gordon?
Yes, well, it's all of those. The most recent thing is a Chinese survey ship in the Philippine Sea, which is in China's in Philippines' exclusive economic zone. So China is broadening the area of conflict with the Philippines.
We welcome Jonathan Ward. He is a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute. In addition to that, he's the author of The Decisive Decade, which is where we are right now, inside of it. The American Grand Strategy for Triumph Over China. Jonathan, it's a pleasure to welcome you, but it's an ironic day because while we have this provocation and threat in the South China Sea against an ally of the United States, the Philippines, we have news from the Wall Street Journal that major executives are traveling to Beijing for what appears to be consultation with the Chinese Communist Party. By major, I mean Tim Cook of Apple, Cristiano Amon of Qualcomm, Albert Bourla of Pfizer, Stephen Schwarzman of Blackstone. I could go on. Ray Dalio will be there from Bridgewater. While the provocation is underway, these are separate realities. Are they separate universes? Good evening to you, John.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Gordon. Well, yes, I think that's one of the most important issues, as we've talked about for quite some time now, is that our business leaders are headed in absolutely the wrong direction often enough. And I think despite the headlines one sees about some starting to say China's uninvestable or supply chain diversification, I mean, we continue to have very, very large businesses that are so deeply embedded in the People's Republic of China that one has to ask, is there any possibility, any realistic possibility of them even pulling out and correcting course, to say nothing of those that want to make continued investments into China? So the companies you've just listed, are some of the most exposed to this problem set, and they seem to ignore the geopolitical realities that we've been talking about for so long now. So as you see those two vectors essentially come, you know, on one hand, they're parallel courses. I mean, just different views of reality. I think that is true, an alternative universe for businesses versus that of the real world and geopolitics. But eventually that's going to collide, and it's really going to impact and potentially even destroy major American companies. So I think they have an interest now in coming to terms with what the U.S.-China relationship really looks like. This situation in the Philippines now, and of course, you know, we've just had a serious meeting between Blinken and Marcos, and, you know, sort of further definition to our defense relationship. I mean, the EDCO in 2023 expanded the U.S. basing structure there, and this is all in a state of, you know, a series of flashpoints in the Pacific. And meanwhile, China makes absolutely clear that they intend to use force, perhaps prolifically across the first island chain at some point in the not too distant future. So, you know, the Philippines is one of the most important flashpoints because of the mutual defense treaty going back to 1951, but the others, including Taiwan, the China-India border, you know, even the offshore islands, you know, in the Taiwan Straits. I mean, it's starting to really mount up into a very serious situation, but that was always in the cards. I mean, this was always part of how Beijing sees the world.
Gordon, you have a question for Jonathan.
John mentioned that Tim Cook is in China right now. He's specifically in Shanghai. He's opening up a big store in that city. What was really hideous was that he met with officials of Lens Technology. Lens Technology is an Apple supplier and has also been credibly accused of using forced and slave labor of Uyghurs in Xinjiang. Your comments about Tim Cook.
Sure. And I think there are going to be so many companies that have that problem. I mean, there was a report maybe 4 or 5 years ago that identified probably 100 different companies with exposure to the forced labor supply chains in Xinjiang. I mean, it's everything from tech to auto companies to obviously apparel. But no, I think Apple is ultimately going to be a very tragic case study in the 2020s. And if it makes it to the 2030s in this current structure, I mean, we've seen so much coming out about this company. I mean, the alleged deal where Tim Cook promised hundreds of billions of dollars in investment into China, you know, the fact that their revenue share is so significant in China, the fact that they're still trying to grow there in spite of all issues, the fact that they are, the Communist Party has already started to try to cut back on Apple's use by the Chinese government. I mean, they're just right in the center of this problem set. And I imagine that it's a company that cannot fix this. At the end of the day, if you're Apple, can you actually really move your supply chain out? Can you really go to India? Can you really survive without the Chinese consumer base and supply chain that they've spent, many years building? And in the meantime, so you're forcing business leaders into this position, or they've put themselves into this. And I keep thinking of the moments in 1937 where Thomas Watson of IBM gave a speech in Munich about peace through trade and was given a medal by Hitler and wrote a handwritten thank you note to Hitler. And just a horrible moment in American business history. And then what's even worse is that after that war broke up, and obviously peace through trade was meaningless, IBM's machines were used in the Holocaust. And that's a matter of enormous documentation. So, Tim Cook may be writing the one of the most tragic and horrible moments in American business history as we speak.
You remind me, Jonathan, because I've done the book, there was an effort in the 1930s, beginning in 33, for a British-German business association and headquartered in London, and one in Berlin, a German business association. We can solve our difficulties even if the politicians cannot. So it is history repeating itself. The efforts were sustained through the 1930s and then broke down almost entirely. The subject, however, included the possibility, Jonathan, there was major league spying going on in the guise of being a business association. So we can't presume there isn't some other motive here from the businessmen who traveled to China. But at the same time, I come to this. Jonathan, they've been captured. They're not independent agents anymore. They're held by their stockholders to maintain their profits. I believe Apple's sale of iPhones in China was down sharply. My memory is 43%, but whatever it is, Tim Cook is not an independent agent. Do you agree?
Well, look, I think their interests in the China market, yes, they that is driving their business strategy at a certain point for companies with that much exposure, which is why shareholders are going to ultimately have to look at China exposure as risk. I mean, this is not an asset to have a major Chinese supply chain. It's not an asset to have a chunk of your revenue coming from China. That's liability. That's sheer liability. And that's geopolitical exposure of a company like Apple.
You acknowledge the stockholders will hold them accountable. Quite
they have to, John, and that's the change we have to make, I think, is at the end of the day, Washington can do certain things, but Wall Street is going to have to do the other half. I mean, for the U.S. to function in the full capacity of its power, it's our national government, but also our major financial markets that essentially drive our companies and help them, hold them accountable.
Jonathan Ward, a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John.